Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I have a very, very special guest tonight. His name is John. John, 3 years ago, was one of the first people to jump up to the plate to help my grandson. He did various things online and sent things to Mikey and kept in touch with some family members and gave lots of moral support. And I had spoken to him a couple times, but didn't really connect. I was so overwhelmed by so many wonderful people that did so many things for Michael. Again, that's one of the reasons I'm doing this show, not just because I think it needs to be done, but because I know there's so many wonderful people out there who are ready, willing, and able, and maybe if there's somebody guiding them in the right direction, they'll be there. That's my hope. So tonight, John and I have talked a few times recently, and he shared some things with me that as a mom and a grandma, and a sister, and a wife, and a mother, hurt my heart a lot. John has had a very bumpy journey, and many things have hurt him, and he's still out there getting on and doing things. He takes beautiful pictures. He seems to have a real zest for life, and the best part about all of it is no matter what happened to him, he still seems to really love people. He has a very large family. We talked last night a little bit about when he goes around and visits everybody. So that speaks very loudly to me about who he is as a person. So regardless of what other people have tried to do to him, he's a survivor. And sounds like a happy person, somebody who gets some joy out of the simple things, like making new friends and knowing somebody who cares about him. Those are the things that appear to make him happy. So tonight, he's going to share some things. I'm really pretty much just going to let him talk. Shelley is going to join us. He's told me it's okay if I ask a few questions, but more or less, I just want him to share. And it's my hope, of course, that if there's somebody out there that can relate to John or knows somebody who can relate to John, we'll be listening, and it'll make a difference in someone's life. So let me welcome Shelley and John both on the air. John?
Yes?
Hi, dear. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. And how are you?
I'm good. I am so looking forward to having you share your story. I think that it will make a difference. I talked with some young people today, and I told them a little bit just generalizing some of the things that you had already shared with me. And I said the most amazing part is he's still a nice man and he still cares about other people. And that really speaks volumes about what kind of character you have, John. So Shelley is here, but she's Shelley, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay. John is on the line, and I think we'll just start. First of all, John, just tell us a little bit about things now for you. How old are you, John?
I am 46 years old. Never been married, no kids. I'm living in Lake Zurich, Illinois. Actually, I'm living with my parents, helping them out. Because my mom has been ill, and then my father, he enjoys painting, so I've been helping both of my parents out. And then right across the street is where my sister and niece lives. And my sister has cerebral palsy, limited speech, and so I'm also there for them. And I also was turned 17 at Valentine's Day, and so sometimes she needs to borrow my car to go to work, so I'll go with her. And when I was born, I was adopted at birth. And at 6 weeks, my adoptive parents once took me from the cradle. And the cradle is a famous adoption agency. And so I was adopted at birth. In the first 6 weeks, I was at the cradle in Evanston, Illinois. And so it was, my family, I know family history of my real parents, or my adopted parents, or my real parents, they say.
Yes, yes. Now, let me ask one question so I don't forget. I'll try not to interrupt you very much. The sister that you just mentioned that lives across the street, is she a natural child of your parents, or is she adopted as well?
She's also adopted as well.
Mm-hmm.
She's 2 years younger than I am, and she was also adopted through the cradle. And it was 6 weeks for her too,
mm-hmm.
for her to be through the adoption. And that was born in Evanston, and the cradle is in Evanston, right by the Northwestern University. And my sister was born in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just my sister and I, and my sister just got engaged with a very great person, Brian, to be their second marriage, and so they'll be getting married in October. So
that's lovely.
Yep. So they want me to do some videoing and some pictures and all that for their wedding.
Well, I've seen some of your pictures on Facebook. They're wonderful pictures. You're very, very talented in that arena. Have you ever done that for a living, John?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. So you just do it in an amateur status?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're wonderful.
Thank you. And I have did a lot of I did some weddings and anniversary parties, and that's my gift for them. I don't ask for nothing, and I enjoy doing it, and I give and this is something they could cherish for their lifetime.
And, absolutely. I'm a big picture lover. I agree. Pictures are when you get to finally come to my house, you'll see I don't have too many pictures of anything other than my family and my friends. Almost on every wall in my house, I have a few pictures that were given to me by other people usually, but I have lots and lots of people pictures. I think that's a wonderful gift to give to someone.
Yes, and it's for my grandparents' 50th was in 1986, and that's when I really got into the videoing. I am in David Friend's video camera, and I videotape everything. I went to every table and got everyone to say something to my grandparents.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely.
Yeah.
And very, very nice.
Yeah. And both my grandparents are passed away now, and a lot of their friends and a lot of our relatives, and so it's a good remembrance. and we could be creative to relive the doings and see all the loved ones and everyone.
That's wonderful, and that's so important. And maybe that's one of the reasons why you're such a nice person, John, because of that family that you've just grown up with a lot of other challenges, and I'm going to ask you to share some of those. But somehow, some way, you've still become this very kind, generous, giving, gentle soul. And, you know, that's a big thing. That's a big thing, because I know people that haven't gone through anything that don't realize the importance of doing just those two simple things that you said you're doing for your grandparents and for your sister. So I want you to, let's kind of go to the beginning. So after 6 weeks, you were adopted from the cradle, and those are the only parents you've ever known, and you love them, and they're your parents, and your sister is your sister, which is another beautiful thing. Now, have you ever known anything of your birth parents?
One of the things what I just found online, like a couple years ago, I was at a grad sale, and a person we were talking, and this person was the volunteer for the cradle, and she was saying, She goes around and talks to the different high schools and about being adopted and how it is. And I went on the cradle website a couple years ago, never found any information on there, and I thought they said this one lady said you should contact. I tried to, I couldn't. But just like yesterday, I went onto their website, and they are looking for people from the cradle who was adopted through the cradle to do talks. And So I'm going to be sending the form in to them, and then maybe I will be going around talking to the different schools here in Illinois and in the surrounding areas, being adopted and who I am.
That's wonderful. And by doing that, too, you will set some young people's minds at ease and let them know, again, you know, it's awful if you think you're the only one. It's really awful. Nobody likes to think that you know, that they're different from everybody else and they're the only one. So when you open that door of communication with a child, especially since some children don't find out until later in life that they've been adopted, some parents make the decision to share with them right away. Some parents make the decision to it just be private. And for whatever their reasons, I'm not saying one is wrong and one is right, but that's the decisions that they make, and then a child finds out, and there's some, you know, there's some devastation involved because now they're trying to all of a sudden figure out who they are. You, on the other hand, you know, as far as you're concerned, they're your mom and dad. There's been no controversy over who you belong to, which is a beautiful thing. So when you can talk to some of these kids, I suspect you're going to do a lot of good for a lot of kids who maybe haven't even voiced the fact that they're concerned about that, and smooth it for them before it becomes a major problem. So that's a great thing. I wish you much luck and good fortune with that, because I think that's going to be a wonderful thing. Now,
hey,
when
Rainey,
did...
Can I interrupt, Rainey?
Absolutely.
Sure. Well, First of all, John, I want to say that I'm very pleased that you're speaking to everybody tonight. The only thing I wanted to mention real quick is that sometimes when you're talking, John, your speaker is cutting out, and I'm hearing everything that Rainey's saying, but in some cases I'm losing every other word that you're saying. So maybe, Rainey, when John is done speaking each time, because you seem to be hearing him clearer, maybe
yeah.
you could paraphrase what he said before you go to the next segment and just kind of give like a brief recap and then move on to the next question you have for him.
Okay. I'm happy to do that. Is that all right with you, John?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Well, all right, then let me start right here, because what he just shared with us is a wonderful thing. The cradle where John was adopted from, he and his sister both, at 6 weeks of age, he's gotten online, and he met somebody from the cradle, a representative from the cradle, and she told him to get on the website, and he did, and he researched some stuff, and now they are looking for some cradle children who were adopted and are adjusted and everything, and they're going to go around and talk to some of the schools and help some of the kids that might be going through that adjustment period. Like I mentioned, if they were told right away, like John was, which is great, or if they didn't find out until later, maybe he can set some minds at ease, and I think that's a beautiful thing. So now what I've asked John to go to, some of the things that he shared with me started happening at a very young age. Can you step into when you felt like you were being bullied, John?
Yes. Growing up, I have a learning disability. This is my English skills and my speaking skills. And that as a kid, I went to a speech therapist to help me speak with my speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at early age. I started at age 3, and then I had it through Amherst School, Middle School, and this speaking thing. And so I just remember when I was in kindergarten, I was in line, and several of the kids said, you should go into this other line, and so I did, and so I ended up being in this other line, and I went into the school, and it was because I was new to the school and everything, and I ended up in the wrong classroom.
So they tricked you. They tricked you into going into the wrong line. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then as a kid in grammar school, they used to pick on me because of the way I talked. Because I have a learning disability and with language skills. And so they used to tease me a lot sometimes and pick on me and try to get into fights and everything. And I remember a couple of times being in the principal's office, and my parents came in and tried to say I was being picked on. And one of the principals was Mr. Eirich, and he said yes, John was being picked on, and he said something, and it kind of stopped for that school year. But then I ended up going instead of like kindergarten and first grade, I was at Seth Payne's school. Second and third grade, I was at Quentin's school. Fourth and fifth with me to school. Then I was in the junior high, 6th, 7th, and 8th. And then 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, I was at the Lake Zurich High School. And these are all the schools in Lake Zurich when I was going to school.
And these are all public schools, John?
Yes, all public
schools.
And they're all public schools. And I got picked on through at all the different schools, not only mm-hmm. one, but at every one because of my language skills. It was very hard. And people kids used to go up to my locker, close the locker on me. Some threw some punches and everything. And then you're just wondering why are they doing it? And you try to why there ain't people, students that will be there for you. So coming in like in our neighborhood, I used to get that too by a couple friends.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, they were saying something about my sister. And my sister, we were down by the beach. And we live on a small lake, 26-acre lake. And my parents has their house on this lake. And so I think my parents mentioned I had to get Jan to come home. And so when I went down there, I told Jan, my sister, to come on home. And so she was getting ready, and this neighbor kid lives closer by the beach, was there, you know, was making fun of me, how I was talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then he grabbed me and tried to drown me in the lake.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell everybody that again, just in case there was there was a couple times when the speaker did get a little bit strange. John was sent to get his sister. They live near a lake. Their home, their parents' home is near a lake. And when he went to get his sister, there was another child there, a boy, and he tried to drown John in the lake.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So how did you get out of the water, John?
I finally was in the shuttle park, and I tried to get, I finally escaped, and I ran home, and I think my parents mentioned something to their parents and all of this. I know some kids were napping, because they were friends of this one kid. And after while growing up, I found out that this person was on drugs. And he was involved with drugs and everything. I never done drugs and never will. I don't drink. And because I see what happens to people from people that are on drugs or been drinking. Because I lost an uncle in a car accident from drinking, and then I lost an ex-brother-in-law about
the 3 years this July that he was killed by a drunk driver.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, I think all of us have been touched in negative ways by drugs and alcohol, everyone that I know. John, do you remember how old you were when this other boy tried to drown you?
Probably about 10, 11
wow.
years old. And I remember leaving my bike outside, and another kid in the neighborhood ended up taking my bike and using it. And without asking, and I remember going down to their house and seeing my bike, and so I ended up taking my bike and bringing it back home. And one of the things was just happening in the past maybe 10 years, I like 10 years ago, this person's grandma passed away. And the person who used to take my bike.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to do so, try to take me, he always picked on me. And so, and he has three sisters. And so three of the sisters are good friends with my sister. So 10 years ago, their grandma passed away, and Todd, the person I used to take my bike, was at the wake and then at the service. And then Todd came up to me and said, John, can you be a pallbearer for his grandmother?
Wow.
And he also says, he said, I'm sorry what I've done to you in the past, and that he has changed. And so I forgave him, and I was a pallbearer. And then afterwards, in the restaurant, I was sitting with him. And I remember my sister was saying, so there were people saying that, can you believe John and Todd are talking and are friends? and so just about a month ago, Todd went on Facebook for the first time, and he found me, and he said, hey, John, do you remember about me taking your bike? And I said, yes. And I said, he has his legal name on the Facebook, is Edmund, but everyone knew him by Todd. So, his first comment was, do you remember the person that took your bike when you were a kid? And I said, yes. And then he said, this is Todd. And so we've been friends. And during those years, I sometimes, he needed a ride, so I took him for a ride. And to wherever he had to go to. And he also, growing up, came from a single parent family, and had a kind of like a rough life too.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's why it's been so easy for you to forgive him, because you see the other side of that?
Yes. I noticed a lot of the kids, after we were talking, and last night, I was thinking about all the kids that used to pick on me. They all had maybe problems at home, and one of the things I notice is way the kids used to release energy was to pick on someone else.
Yeah.
And one of the things I notice, and there's another friend in an internet friend I met online, and she has 4 kids, and they are a single parent, and they've been through hard times, and that they're in the garage, they have a punching bag for the kids to release their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And also a doctor to talk to.
Well, we do that too. We believe in that. Mikey has a punching bag in his garage, and I think I mentioned the other night on the show that I bought a trampoline for all the kids, and I noticed when some of the teenagers would get angry with each other, I'd look in the backyard and they'd just be bouncing away. And there were times when I thought it might do me some good, but I didn't think the world was ready to see me out there bouncing on the trampoline. But I do understand how and why that would be important and valuable to get rid of your inner hostilities. But now let me ask you something. Do you, and this is for the kids, because I want to say that I think a young kid isn't going to have the sensibility that you have, because now you're an adult. But say you were 10 again, John, and this kid that tried to drown you and this kid that kept stealing your bicycle and everything, do you think you thought about it then, the fact that they might not have come from a nice family and that maybe they had problems? Or were you just hurt and angry because they were being mean to you?
Probably hurt and angry. And the person by the lake, he came from a good family. And then the other one didn't. And as a kid, like I was, I didn't think about if they had
their home life,
right, their life, mm-hmm. and if they had any problems. But
right.
During there's something I didn't tell you, is that I used to be a volunteer coach for youth sports. So I used to help coach all different ages and all different sports, from YMCA type to local club sports to traveling teams, from grammar school, middle school, high school age kids and teams. And we did travel throughout the Midwest states and to Canada. And as an adult, I'm very great with the kids, and several of the kids came up to me and said, "John, can you be my father, my brother, my cousin, and my uncle?" And yes. And I said, "I don't care, and I will do it." And several of the teens and the kids always talk to me, and as a coach, being around the youth, I get to see if they're, I can tell if something's bothering them.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up to me and they start talking, and what's wrong, and I end up helping several of kids and everything, and then the parents were there, and the parents said, "John, you're great," and then the parents would ask me, "Can I be their coach for their siblings or for other teams their kids are on?"
Mm-hmm.
Or I ended up going to their games, and I was there as if I wasn't involved in that sport. And the kids really liked me being there. But as a coach, when I was coaching, I remember a couple of kids. When I'm there, the kids do great. Like in baseball, Kevin was the kid's name. And Kevin, when I'm there, right before going up to bat, he comes up to me and he always talks and everything. And I never get to see his mother was never at game. The father was there, and he played awesome when I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I wasn't there, and he didn't play it good and everything. And I came to the next game, and I was there, and I had to coach. And Kevin said, "No, John, I missed you playing. I missed you being there." And then also some of the kids are from head problems too, and not from from the like some were in a private school because they were having problems at home, and this was up in the Dakota when I was a coach up there.
Let me ask you something. Do you think one of the reasons then, if you were going to talk to, say, let's say 16-year-old, 16 is a tough age, and say this is one of the kids that you're coaching and that you're helping play ball and everything, and they're loving you because you seem like this really gentle, caring person, which you are. So, but you find out that the same kind of things are going on with them that went on with you when you were that age. How would you help them with that, John? How would you say to them, look, this is what's going on and you just have to get past it, and it's a good idea if you just keep moving on and helping the people who are ready, willing, and able to accept your friendship, and the other ones you just stay away from? How would you counsel them?
I told them I was in the same spot as you were, and also I said, if there's someone picking on you, go to an adult or to anyone that's there. And then if someone was being picked on the team, we will talk to that person and ask them why, and I'm trying to find out, and say that it's not right, and we will step in. And several times, someone could say, Coach John, Steph here, what is out in the field, and you can see he's disturbed. And so between innings, I will let the head coach know, look at Steph out there, and there's like something that's disturbing him. And then I would talk to him and give him advice and listen to him. And then I will sometimes let the head coach know that Jeff is having some problems. And then sometimes it's another kid on another team that he's in school with that's picking on. And
mm-hmm.
and so and sometimes some of the kids I'm the team I coach, I mean, if they find out that someone is picking on their teammate, they will step in and try to help that
mm-hmm.
first that kid. And
mm-hmm.
we'll say, hey, if you do something to him, do something to Jeff, you're doing something to the whole team, because the whole team will step up for Jeff and protect him.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so you think that if you have a team, if you have a team situation like what you're doing when you're coaching, and you see that one kid is being picked on or is having a problem or something, you kind of enlist the help of the whole team. You bring in the whole team and really make them behave like a team. Is that what you're saying?
I do it both. Sometimes I just let the person, Jeff, example, and I asked him, I said, does the team know? And Jeff will say yes or no. And then I said, so do you want the team to help you? And sometimes some kids will say yes. And and then I always let that up to the youth, to the player.
Well, that's I like this. I like this idea because I think that you stop other kids from bullying by including him like this. I have another caller who would like to say something. Is it okay with you if I bring them in, John?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hello, this is Renee.
Hello, it's Mackenzie and Emma.
Hi, Mackenzie and Emma.
Hello.
How are you?
We're super good. We're listening to your show, and we are trying to learn that in our house, too.
Uh-huh. See, so John, see, the, and Emma's very young. Mackenzie and Emma are friends of mine. They, Emma is, how old is Emma now?
Emma is, oh, I just...
Yeah, turn down the speaker on your computer.
Okay, there you go. There we go.
Okay.
We're echoing. All right.
Yeah.
So we were listening, and it's what a wonderful story you have.
Mm-hmm.
And
isn't John wonderful? Yes.
Super awesome. And your spirit and your love is just inspiring and awesome. And everyone should listen and take notice to that, and that's what we try to do in our house is learn differences. And Emma, did you want to talk? And did you want to? Let me see. Do you want to talk and say what you said?
Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Hello, Emma.
Do
you have something to tell us, Emma?
Well, she's shaking her head, but she heard this, and she said that we should all practice to love everyone, and just the same as we love everyone in our family, we should love every one of our friends and accept everyone for their differences, and their that's what makes them awesome.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when we're the smartest, when we're young like Emma. Before all the world steps in and makes us believe that we're supposed to think something else. You're awesome, Emma. You rock. You really rock. You are wonderful, and I am so glad you're grown up to be such a beautiful young woman.
Yes, you are, Emma. You're a super girl, and you should love all people.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Because I'm super proud of you for all that you do and the way that you make feel people, way that you make people feel loved and comfortable, and you're awesome.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Well, stay on with us if you'd like to. I do have a couple other things I'd like to ask John, that he had shared with me before. You did mention that in your lifetime, you were even picked on by some adults.
Right, at through the Ricks, working. And not only, I worked for an insurance company for 13 years, and then I worked for the government for about 2 years, in a school district for about 3 months. And during that time, for the government, it's not my supervisor, it's his supervisor that used to pick on me, and he used to say stuff to me, and at that time, so my English skills was, my grammar skills was given to a thing stuff on my grammar skills, and they say there's nothing we can do to correct it. And then I ended up leaving that job. I went to the middle school, school district, as a student aide to a student. And I was there, and about almost out of the week, the student would come to school maybe 2 days out of five. And and so I used to call the house, and they always say he was sick. And so this one teacher used to say stuff, did you call? I said yes. And talked to the parent, and the parent said he's sick. And then this teacher was saying, no, that kid has to be here. And I said, yes, he does. And there's nothing I could do to bring the students to school, because all the legal things and the laws and everything. And then several times when that student wasn't there, the person, the teacher used to say stuff during the class, not taking a side, but in front of the students, their middle school students, and then embarrassed me in front of the students and everything. And that's hard, being embarrassed and say, bring me down in front of the students. And one of the, when I was in school, I had this T-shirt.
Oh, really?
Yes, and so it was a hard.
Pretty intense, because he was your teacher, and then he was your employer, and so he was actually blaming you because he felt that your speech problem, your grammar problem, was the reason the kids wouldn't come back to school when you called their homes.
No. The grammar skills were with my government job. And that was because that's one of my handicap things is the grammar skills. And this was about 12 years ago, they found out that I'm dyslexia, seeing words and numbers backwards. It's so severe that it cannot be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, as when I got into the high school age, I ended up with a panic anxiety disorder. And then before I was born, I have three discs in my back that are fused together. So while so when I was growing up, my parents said it was up to us whatever we wanted to do. And one of the things my mom and my parents, I didn't go to church because they were saying the kids could be picking on us in church and
mm-hmm.
or in different sports and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do remember my sister and I, we were in 4-H for about 2 years, never had a problem there. But as
mm-hmm.
an adult, being picked on, it's hard. At the workplace, because they start saying stuff in front of the employees, and in my case, was the employees at the government job, and
mm-hmm.
I went to the school district, was in front of students, middle school
mm-hmm.
age, and several of these students, I was their coach and everything, too, and I remember one of the co-teachers I had was still there. And he even said stuff came up and said, "You don't do that in front of the students." Trying to tell the other teacher, "That's not right." And he had to bang. And he even went to the head person and mentioned it to them. But one of the things. Working with the school district here, the person that hired me was an administration office,
mm-hmm.
They didn't tell me that's your boss. They didn't
mm-hmm.
tell me the principal is your boss, the assistant principal is your boss, nothing.
Well, you know, John, I got to tell you something about that. That seems to be like an epidemic in a lot of your workplaces today. Way too many chiefs and no Indians, and lots of people who believe that it's their responsibility to make sure you're doing a good job so that they always look better. And often their job falls short because they're so worried about what you're doing. I don't think that has anything to do, though, with the stuff that's going on with you, with your grammar and everything. I think that very sadly has become the way of the world in the workplace. I think the two ladies that are on the phone with us right now, both of them are way up in their game. I've worked with both of them. They're amazing workers, and yet they still had the same kind of things happen to them that you have, and myself as well. So, we're going to need another night to talk with you, but we're down to 6 minutes, and I'd like Shelley to have an opportunity to ask you a couple questions if she has something, and then maybe Mackenzie would like to ask you something.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yes,
okay.
That's fine.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but what is your age, John?
I was born in 1966, so I just turned 47, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Sweet love, you are doing such a great job, and you keep up the great work because you are awesome. And your words are just perfect, and what you're saying is awesome, and you keep up the great work. So I don't want to interrupt anyone, but I'm very proud of you, and you should be very proud of yourself. So keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the things is, one Renee's grandson, Mikey, when I found out that he was bullied, and it was the same day as Hampton, I wanted to be in contact and try to help Mike.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly what he was going through, being bullied. And the Brewer family, like my personal family, and they're a great bunch of people.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you, Jen. I agree with Mackenzie. You're doing a heck of a job, a heck of a job. Shell, would you like to ask something?
Well, actually, I would, and I would look forward to John calling in at another time. But the only thing I wanted to say is that I've heard him a couple of times say that he has a learning disability, I think, and a speech impediment. If the speech, the halting speech, is something that we hear from time to time. But as far as a learning disability, you come across very intelligent. You come across very insightful and very heartful about a lot of things that you say. So I'm not sure where the learning difficulty comes from, because I'm not seeing that. You seem to be extremely intelligent to me, and the things that you say, the way you approach life, the way you respond to people, is, as far as I'm concerned, is above par. With a lot of people that I deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you.
You know, maybe his learning disabilities are some of the stuff none of us should ever learn.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I mean, maybe some of the things that have passed him by, we would be better off without.
Well, what we see as a challenge in learning, he's learned more than most people have. And
exactly.
Really
right.
Made
try hard, yeah.
And you should be very proud of yourself.
Yep. You're very heartful, John. Very, very heartful. And it's such a pleasure to hear from somebody who has been, you know, slapped around maybe a little bit, but instead of it making you into a very undesirable person to be around, you are a joy, and you are warm, and you are everything that I want the people that surround me to be like. So you, of course, know that you're welcome with the Brewers anytime you need them, and I do hope that you'll call in again, and we can delve into a little bit more of this, because I think you probably taught some people some things tonight.
Thank you, and I will call in, and we could talk more, and whatever you want.
Okay. All right. So you and I will make a date, and you'll call in again. I'll give you a little bit of a respite, but maybe next week one day. I've got one of my grandchildren is a teacher, and she's teaching first grade, and she's going to call in next week, and we're going to talk about some of the things that take place really early on with young people, and the fact that, you know, that's when they're really learning to be nice. And
right.
I think that the fact that they're asked to do so much scholastically at such an early age is infringing a little bit on their social skills. And that's what she and I are going to talk about. And she thinks she's a wonderful teacher. She went just for an interview and went in the classroom, and the kids all liked her so much they hired her on the spot. So she's good with all the younger grandchildren as well. She really loves children. So I hope you'll listen to that show. And Shelley and Mackenzie and Emma, it was wonderful having you on with us. And I hope you listen all the time. And Mackenzie and Emma, if you ever want to call and talk privately, please do.
I know that. She's actually going to get her chance. But it was great to tune in to you, because that's something we've been talking a lot about lately, is to be kind, love.
Yes, yes. And she's right in that place, so this is the perfect time.
Yay. All right. Well, I love you. And great work. You are awesome. And don't ever forget that.
Oh, thank you. All right, sweetie. I love you too. Love you too, Shell. And John, love you. And you did beautifully tonight.
Thank You're awesome,
John.
Good night, Reen. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.